All right, welcome back to Punkonomics here. We're just laughing, talking about dead people.
Talking about horrible stuff and laughing. Oh, God.
Laughing and talking about dead people, isn't that awful?
Yeah, the last 5 minutes, I hope you enjoyed the Hendrix, you know? I forgot, it's great. I mean, I have it on vinyl somewhere in my house, so... I don't use vinyl enough because, again, who has time, right? But it's
true,
nice.
True.
Sometimes you put out an album that you know well on a turntable, nothing fancy necessarily. It does sound better than CD. I'm,
yeah.
I don't mean to be a snob or anything. As I said, I don't use it much because of convenience. But, yeah, that Hendrix piece was pretty strong and wonderful. And so, I mean, maybe a lot of you think it was noise mostly. Maybe it was, but...
So patriotic, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, well, you know, patriotic maybe in the sense that you can have somebody who's like a descendant from slaves, you know, becoming one of the greatest guitarists of all times, kind of flourishing as a sort of kind of Mozart of the 20th century America, living too short a life, yeah. But, yeah, like we were quoting at some point from, one of the best movies ever made, Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, when, you know, the light that shines twice as bright. Shines half as long. But anyway, yeah, the way he breaks it down, and cause this is more like classical music or jazz as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know, I'm old, you know, when you're old, you kind of appreciate
it's a beautiful piece of
yeah, because
art.
It seems like he's just distorting it and then you can just go with,
right.
America could use some, you know, overdrive distortion. In a better way than it's getting right now, I think. So, remember Coalition for Immokalee Workers, CIW? I'll post on the blog some links as the time goes by and re-promote this again. Alliance for Fair Food, they're having a screening. But even more important than their screening is the fact that there's a parade and concert for Fair Food in St. Petersburg on Saturday, March 21st. I'm afraid I cannot go because I'll be working out of town. But that should be like a bunch of bands and you know, good cause, good fun type of situation it's supposed to be.
And that is happening again?
March 21st, that's a Saturday in St. Petersburg.
What time?
And there's a whole, it's kind of the whole day. I'll post some more and I'll maybe remind you.
And it'll be on punkonomics.org and the Facebook page as well and Twitter and all the other social media events.
And that information is also easily, it's easy today, right? I mean, you just Google, Immokalee Workers. Of course, it depends, right? Because the thing is, that's another echo chamber, right? The fact that Google kind of knows your searches. So when you're logged in, I often, when I go to class, I don't log in because most of the professors seem to leave their login open. I can go in there.
Yes.
Log the bleep out. Talk about habit, you know, like security habits. You can we have a 16-character passphrase now.
Yeah.
But if you stay logged in, I mean, well, it's the building.
I actually see it here on the station, but I think that's pretty much everybody, not just professors. They just forget.
Yeah, they
just in a rush.
I've gone back after, you know, getting all caught up and confused, and I've gone back. Wait a minute, did I log off? Yeah. For me, it's like leaving the gas on as it used.
Right.
Did I shut it down?
You know, I once did deleted my all my history with Google, and then researched something again, and it really sucked.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm not getting what I wanted. So I'm like, you know what? Keep collecting data. You are serving me well.
Right. You know, so somebody, if you're like a, you know, religious fundamentalist, I'm sure you'll get a very different things as you type into Google coalition of, you know.
Exactly.
What are the chances that all that information actually got erased off of Google?
No.
Zero.
Well, of course, but then it's erased from my account, so I can't see it.
With your first name and last name, they went like, oh, yeah, we're going to delete this, all right? No.
Google is a good example. I mean, just here to defend, since I'm the Android user and you're the Apple users, you know, let's say that, you know, Google is still their corporate motto is don't be evil.
Right.
And I use them heavily, personally, on so many levels. Just like Amazon, I use heavily on so many levels. But they are evil, both of them.
Yeah, you know,
let's just say it short.
It is, and this is like a big topic that we can discuss. Even when you delete anything from the internet, it basically goes to a garbage space where actually it is not deleted.
No.
They can recover it.
Yeah,
it's recoverable.
Google is actually very intimately involved with the whole like NSA scandal and Snowden, all
right.
that. Google exposed. There's a book about it too. The cypherpunk book. I really think it's a good term to maybe promote again. I submitted a paper. We got it. Jalopnik pump. It's done.
Awesome.
It revised. Blah blah blah.
Awesome.
In the pipeline. But we use the word cypherpunk. And one of the reviewers actually thought it was a typo and was like, typo in the typo. Oh, yeah? No, but seriously, you know, because that's how peer review works, right? You submit the thing, and let's say invited or not invited, whatever you submit it, they simply send it to two or three, depending on the people who don't know who you are, you know, no cover page, no, you know, they just read it, and they are supposed to be expert in the field to some extent. Of course, if you do really weird stuff like I do, certainly.
There is an eyebrow.
Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about. So they have to just kind of wing it like I've done it before, you know, and we do it. Academics do it for each other. That's what's known as peer review. And that'll link to maybe what we'll talk about a little bit. How do we know what the hell is true and what isn't, right? So peer review means you are recognized expert on some kind of topic. You have no real interest. Of course, you have your own biases and preconceptions. You're human. But if you send to several people, hopefully, and if, you know, an editor sees that two people have a completely different take on this paper, this one says, oh, this is complete nonsense, and this one says, that's pretty interesting, maybe need some revision, this is not clear, blah, blah, blah. The kind of what we like to hear, academics, revise and resubmit. Just got one this morning, be happy with that. Then an editor will say, wait a minute, we got a problem, I need a third referee, let's say, you know, just to see what's going on here. How come such a deep, more often than not, you get a reasonably similar opinion. So anyway, cypherpunks is kind of where the WikiLeaks started. You know, this notion and their motto is transparency for the powerful and privacy for the weak. So it's a kind of a, you know, freedom, liberty-oriented, but I would say they're more like left libertarians because they care about the weak.
Right,
you
right.
Know? And I always accuse the right libertarian for forgetting that part of
And they actually have a program or approach, unlike the libertarians.
And they're doing, we could argue, but that's a whole other topic, right? I mean, are they, how, I mean, the government hates them. All governments hate them. Except for Ecuador. Yeah? For good reason. Yeah, I'm always I find it funky that people who consider themselves to be kind of in the libertarian, and I think, you know, we always like to, we have our libertarian friends, if you're so anti-government, how do you come, you listen to everything they say when it comes to important stuff?
Right.
You know? So, anyway, a cypherpunk is this kind of approach, maybe hackery, you know, a little bit, but a little bit more organized and politically than people like Anonymous that, you know, sometimes do nice things, but more often than not, sadly, are just a bunch of punks. Not in a nice way. I mean.
So it's just a bunch of, you know, group that are just getting together. It's not like part of...
Well organized. I mean, they have some places like Iceland where they have some servers and some other, you know, so they're very clever. There's Australia. I mean, they try and avoid. They became important more recently because they release stuff. So we find the memos. So when, and we'll get maybe if we have time back later, so when Venezuela asks America, why the hell are you threatening us? What do we do? You might disagree, whatever. We didn't do any of this secret. What? Then the official American response is like, America has never intervened in anybody's internal affairs and never supported any change of regime by non-democratic.
I'm sure they took that from the CIA playbook on how to,
They say it with a... What drives me nuts is like so many, you know, like they like to, yeah, good liberals, given that it's not Bush, right?
Right, right.
It's Obama. They're all like, yeah. I'm like, hello? Let me make a shout out to we found the occasion, right? Remember, we had a bunch of students twice, you know, who are hardcore right wing. One of them is unabashed imperialist, you know? I mean, really like.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, Michael. Michael. I see him three times a week passing by. He's not in my class. He's just passing the hall. Say hi. But yeah, no, you know, okay. So let's say, yeah, we'll topple your regime. We tried in 2002. We're trying again right now. And watch it, buddy, because we're on you.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Are we doing it? Yeah, and because some corporation, whatever, right? Let's be honest about it. Discuss whether it's smart, whether it's stupid, how to go about it more successfully. But again, places like WikiLeaks, you know, WikiLeaks leaked memos. So we know there was at least indirect passive intervention in Ukraine. Whatever you... Putin, you like him, you don't like, I don't think white men should like him personally, but you, what you think about the events, etc., etc. Was there intervention? Was the new government brought about through violent action, like, close to the United States and the European Unions? Usually it takes 20 years until we find out.
Right.
All those things they were calling conspiracy theories, now we know, well, declassified CIA, we have some hope still.
Right.
A lot of experts. And CIA is mostly not like nasty people doing horrible things. It's mostly experts.
True.
We don't like to hear them. Like, if possible, right? Like, you don't hear. No CIA people come, even retired, come to mainstream media, by the way. Did you notice that?
Yes.
When we ever talk with foreign policy. And recently somebody did a little bit of a survey and found that when the rhetoric of the Syria thing, we got to do something about it, let's go bomb them.
Right. Even Obama's saying that.
To help them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. That's how, you know, it's humanitarian intervention. Mm-hmm. That, you bomb them, you put them out of their miseries. I suppose you could see that as some kind of helping them, right? Oh, they're suffering, so let's kill them. You know, cynical, because if I'm not cynical, I start going nuts.
If you don't come to democracy, democracy will come to you.
Right.
Won't
wear another, you will buy
it. But jokes aside, you know, we have a lot of memos now, so there's a little bit of a positive element there, but it's still hard to make sense of a lot of the details sometimes, so that's definitely the case. But what about, you made a comment and I didn't, you know, we didn't discuss it, about the food, right?
Yes, about
and the
bees. About healthcare and the food and most people claiming that right now we're having more health issues because of the food and the pesticides and the chemicals and the GMOs and, you know, everything and of these things. But the other argument was that people were not as advanced. The healthcare was not as advanced, you know, 50 or 60 years ago as it is right now, where we can track and know a virus that someone that was got infected in China, we know it instantly. You know, someone that got cancer, or someone that got whatever disease, you gather that information right now, you have that power to gather that information, and then they're just linking it just to make sense and saying that it's from the food.
Right.
Where if you go back in the day, you don't have any statistics.
You just don't know why that person dropped dead.
Exactly. So it's sort of not a valid.
This is a valid point, and it complicates things, no doubt. So in the context of things, though, first of all, you know, Western medicine did not have a positive effect on health until after the world wars. So it's a new game in town. Now it's promising. Retroviral. I remember seeing it, I think, in Scientific American or something in the early day of AIDS. We were thinking this might be the solution. In the, like, early 90s. You know, that first time, this programmable, DNA programmable. I mean, it sounds like, you know, far future, and I didn't catch that. But apparently, we're finally really getting there. So there's a tremendous amount of potential in technology. I mean, we're good at this. One thing is to spend the money and the efforts.
Right,
and
that's where we are falling.
AIDS is, again, it's a little bit like, there's money in it. It kills everybody. Diarrhea, nobody cares. Because poor people die.
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest killer in the world. Bad water, diarrhea. I mean, the numbers are staggering. I mean, how many people die a day? You know, and completely, just a pill. Over the counter.
True.
Dumb, you know? But in some sense, we don't care. You know, you notice like we care about nuclear weapons, but we don't care about medium range missiles. Because they don't reach us. Yeah? I'm just saying, yeah? So, right. And today, the typical economic textbooks has a bit in it, right? That tells you, oh, we must have copyright protections, for example. Right? Why? In order to provide the incentive for pharmaceutical, one of the classic examples everybody wants. It's very expensive to have pharmaceutical research to cure cancer for us. So we must allow the pharmaceutical industry to gain extraordinary profits. It's actually a term, I mean, beyond the normal profits, which already covers everybody's Ferraris and Mercedes and vacations and Davos and all that. That's still normal. It's beyond we're talking about. Beyond the coverage of all wages and stuff like that. All very nice. The problem is that today, about 3/4 at least of all medical, research is cosmetics. So,
it's just to cover up.
So there's more money researching how to inject Botox into chihuahuas, my favorite topic. Okay, I'm wrong here, all right? I wanted to say there's more money in that in the cure cancer. Probably not. But cosmetics is 3/4.
Right.
All right? So it doesn't necessarily follow that just having the money means you wisely invest it. Or maybe from a private for-profit company, yeah, there's much more money in Botox and cosmetics than there is in cancer.
Right. However, in defense of Botox, it's now being used for migraine headaches.
Sometimes.
But then the Botox thing also brings us to another issue, which is, you know, here, look at that sexy, beautiful lady. You should look like her.
You mean like Cindy Crawford?
Never mind.
Yeah, she just got busted
like
on that one too.
But
they're not even real.
But it's not
those
like
people don't
here.
Look like that in real life.
Right.
Right.
And they do, I mean, and it's their profession. You know, sure. I mean, don't you look at all those young guys? I mean, you know, they're all like, they all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he won the world. I mean, that's just a regular guy, not the skinny guy, not the buff guy. The buff guy looks like a. Alright, almost split. Like a freak. You know what I mean? Look at old movies, right? You see the buff, muscular guy, they look totally normal, right? But it's their job. Plastic surgery, daily exercises.
You make tons of money out of that.
Yeah,
it's not like here, look at this is cancer. Come
on. It's their job, good for them, you know, to a point until they start cutting themselves up to pieces and getting all crazy.
Or they run for governor.
Whatever, you know. Could do worse these days, right? But anyway, but you're absolutely right. So first of all, this whole scientific medicine is a pretty new game in town. Interestingly enough, one of the hugest, probably the big impact was nurses. The doctors didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were just cutting people up, not washing, you know, like
their hands
after
like
going to the toilet, you know, mixing cadavers with women giving birth, wondering why they're all dying. I mean, it was
forgetting scissors.
Until the 20th century, nobody wanted to see a doctor. You know, back in the Middle Ages and antiquity, we had the shamans, we had the witches. They actually had relatively primitive, but they had real scientific based.
Of course, we burned most of them.
Well, that was about that was a little bit, yeah. It's a little bit like what our you know, health industry and insurance industry does. They burn everybody who's actually offering a better, cheaper service. They don't burn them at the stake or drown them and all that stuff as they did maybe, but they just put them out of business or not even allow them to start business. But you see, so there's this interesting element and nurses, practitioners in World War I, in the Crimean War, actually, Florence Nightingale is probably the most famous one. Kind of observed the fact that, you know, the festering, observed these issues, and while we already had the germ theory, it wasn't applied to the injured of war. So it's the nurses, which is again, interestingly, the people that don't have all that education, all
or get
status,
all that money.
They just started to help in the back, and the doctors were like, get out of here. I'm not washing my hands after I take a dump. I can say that, right?
Yeah.
No, and before I make operate on this person, oh, they died. I wonder why, you know. The nurses figured it out essentially, and not only Florence Nightingale, and changed the practices and made a massive advancement. So, you know, you can have penicillin, antibiotics, huge, right? Hugely important. So that's kind of coming out of science and research, public research, by the way, just there. But it's also important to kind of be in the trenches, in this case, kind of literally, you know, to figure it out. But your point is taken. I've heard research about the issue of, you know, abuse on that. You know how we're all worried about children being abused by their parents, rape, incest, maternicide, you know, when mothers kill their children, where they're at what stage, all of those horrible things we don't like to think, you know. And, oh, is it because we find out about them? Where kids were molested and beaten quietly in the home and there was nobody heard about it. But to an extent, certainly. But we do have data for a bit of a long time. So we're making a comparison between, you know, we already have data in the 60s and 70s. Maybe not as much. Yeah. But it's one of those, like a lot of these difficult issues, it's a complex phenomenon. So is ADD all about the food? No, it's surely also about the lifestyle. And sometimes it is a birth. Imbalance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is a tiny minority, by the way. That is the criticism of the ADD thing in America, attention deficit disorder, and their versions of it, right? Is not, oh, quit whining and, you know, concentrate. Like you said in the
I know, that's great.
Naeem is takes over for me as being the, you know, the resident a-hole. Good friend. Somebody needs
to know. When you're nice, I have to be, you know, terrible.
Yeah,
when
I enjoy it.
When I'm terrible,
but you know, interesting.
Nice.
It was just funny to see a whole room of moms looking at you.
Yeah, they all loved you. But interesting enough, that whole argument in the psychological department, you know, world, and as well as psychiatrists, half and half argue about that, whether it's real or whether it's actually happening.
But it's real anyway. It's environmental. That is the, what's his name? Canadian, Hungarian Jew, very old, kind of retired, but talks a lot about it. Again, I can find the name. It's environmental. The idea is that you just got born with it. You might have a proclivity for it. It's a wrong question scientifically, fundamentally wrong biology 101. There is the question, is it nature or is it nurture? Or is it your genes or is it a choice or environment influencing you, your upbringing, all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's a spectrum. Nothing is 100%.
Right.
The argument is often in science is not is it or isn't it. That's an argument for math. That's axiomatic. You know, like, does it obtain? Is it a true statement or a false statement? Very simple. Zero or one. No other options. This is a continuum, right? So it's how much. So you might have a bit of a proclivity, and thus, given what you eat, given the environment in which you live, where you never have time, and your parents are constantly rushing, you know, where you're bombarded by mass brainwashing from age zero, where your schooling system is messed up, you know, and you're, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's like that T-shirt, when the argument started, I saw it once, but it, there was not my size. I'm not ADD, I'm just bored. And most countries have banned the vast majority, certainly for kids. All these drugs are banned. Well, in America, they're heavily prescribed. And we have research, again, you know, peer-reviewed.
Right.
You have to be critical even of peer-reviewed, That's why most things, unlike economics, when you're in biology and you do a research, you have to write, this research was funded by Glaxo, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say that their drug is really good, please be careful.
However, the problem is that they put the label on pretty much, it's a blanket label, okay, because there has been documented proof that there is chemical imbalances. Mm. Now, what's causing that, whether it's environmental or the food they're eating, that's a different story. But, I mean, there is proof.
It is real. You know, people say, like I said before, is it real or isn't real? No, of course it's real.
Yeah,
of course it's real. But where is it coming from, right? And just prescribing it is a major issue. That's a major issue in psychology, right? We're going crazy. I mean, technically, right, more than the majority of Americans have a diagnosed mental disorder. It's the fact right now, as we speak.
That's true.
I know I do. I embrace it every day.
Well, yeah, you know, don't we all, and some of us, like me, refuse to get diagnosed. the rest of us.
But hold on, again, it's because they count them here in the U.S., where in China, they basically do not count them.
Well, it depends your class, of course. No. Well, the thing is that even, for example, you would need, medicine typically works with counseling, but counseling is expensive. And the psychoactive drugs, I mean, that they prescribe, they cost nothing, right? All of those kind of antidepressants are basically free. That's the only free drug in America.
Well, it depends if it's generic, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, you know. But,
Right. But it is free.
But it's free.
As in Brave New World. Give us a drug. And you know that it makes you basically, I mean, it can help. I get it. I mean, the Prozac derivatives can help tremendously. But
it turns you into sheep.
Well, or it
can be better controlled.
Accept the fact that you're getting screwed over. That's a really scary. I mean, this really is Soma. You know, talk about science fiction predicting reality today.
It is really scary. Like when I got a cold last year.
I thought you were depressed.
Okay, so I go to the doctor. They give me antibiotics, painkillers, steroids, and some other drug.
Really?
They're like, okay, just take it for a week, you'll be good.
Steroids, too. I had to take those. That's nasty.
So he's like, here you go.
Well, that covers everything.
Yeah.
The pharmaceutical industry happy, right? Representative doctors get heavily incentivized to overprescribe, and you know, if in case something goes wrong, you can't really sue them because they covered all, you know, their options.
Right. They do their disclaimers. Yeah. Right.
The environment is destroyed. You know, in the sense of, you know, antibiotics is flowing in our rivers literally today. You know, everywhere. Right. I think in the Po River in Italy, actually, and this is already a little old, so at least 10 years, they studied the water. Big research, University of Milano. And they found, like, it's all pharmaceutical. Wow. A lot of cocaine, actually.
But you know that reminds me.
Torino via Milano.
That reminds me when I lived in Puerto Rico. There was this a mayor who was running. Oh, this is hilarious. He was trying to get the vote in his town, and you know, obviously there's a lot of poor people, a lot of kids in the street, and all that. And he was advocating to put birth control in the water.
To control the animals and the plants and everyone.
No, just in the water, just in the water.
You know, that's funny, but
no, actually, I don't agree. You know what I mean? Because that's control.
Right.
Yeah. See, because a lot of people, you know, I'm kind of lefty in some ways, very much so, but again, no, nobody decides for me, right? I just have to have the option. What birth control has to be in all family planning should be free and readily available everywhere. Right. That's what it should be. And then you decide if you are not suited to, I'm not the one to decide if you're suitable to be a parent. I have an opinion about it.
Right.
Consider the vast majority of the population not suitable to be a parent. But that's my opinion.
See, and I'm all in favor of that too. But then, you know, there's the flip side of me as a taxpayer that says, okay, if you're going to have all these kids, then you need to pay for them. Plain and simple.
Right.
Well, you know,
On taxes, yes.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting question, because I tell you what, you know what? When given full birth control access and freedom and opportunity and the freedom from a patriarchal domineering society, women in all societies and all religion curtail their birth.
Yep.
In the Middle Ages in Europe, women average age of first child over 20. Middle Ages. 12th century. Yeah. They went to the witches and got the pill. And if they kind of forgot and got a little wild, and, you know, women have to, watch out. There's three guys here in the studio telling women how to, whoa. No, I'm getting a little,
I'm just saying, if you're going to have that many kids,
they had the day after birth, too. Well, who, right? I mean.
Or find someone that pays for it.
We can afford it. Come on. That's not the cost. That's not the problem of the world, you know?
You know, since we're talking about money and Italy, I recently got a book called, actually, God's Bankers. And it was talking about, I don't know if you heard about it, but it was talking about the Vatican and how it has its own banking system.
It used it in World War II.
Where, you know, someone in Italy could go and you have 10 million or whatever, finish their business, they would go to the Vatican, deposit it, and then they could transfer it to whatever place on the planet they can. And it's, you know, totally clear. You're all good. It was a really interesting book. I'll give you a copy of that. But since we talked about Italy and money, that one came up.
Actually,
mind.
The word, let's be, you know, bank, right? It comes from banca, which is a bench. And was like in the Renaissance. Basically, the bankers that they saw, official bankers, started simply, they had a bench with their name on it in the piazza. And that's where they would sit. I mean, it's more than just a bench, you know.
Right.
A table. And but that's where the word comes from. And that's also bankruptcy. It's when if you are out of liquidity and you can't, you know, the town officials, or depending on which, if it's Venice, be the Dodge, whatever, yeah, would come and literally break your bench. So people would know this is no longer, you know, a legal viable person to make a financial deal with. But that's where the word comes from. But yeah, you know, I mean, anybody who's everybody has to have a banking system, man.
you know, we can discuss that on the next week.
We definitely need to touch on
that. I need a banking system too, but nobody will give it to me.
Yeah, nobody will let me build my own bank.
With a proper banking system, I would take the world.
Anyway, I definitely want to, before we, because we're getting close here to ending the show in another 20 minutes, but you know how it is. We just get spaced out and talk about 10,000 things. Yeah. Obama, Iran, we were talking about it, and it needs to be addressed. And let me just take a shot at it. I was going to say a cheap shot, but truth of the matter is there's proof. And this goes back to what I was saying about the football mentality. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, granted that there was 47 senators who decided on their own they were going to send a letter to a country at which we recognize as a hostile country. Okay.
So it's kind of treason.
Actually telling Iran that the next president will overturn any agreement that this president or that us, because he represents us.
Like America, by the way.
You know, and let's stay on topic.
Did he say that? Okay.
Let's stay on topic. Because bottom line is, it just really irritates me that these people, you know, fine, you know, 9/11 happened, everybody rah rah, and we went and bombed the wrong country. Okay, even though the guy was bad.
Wrong for whom?
Exactly, because it served your interests.
Right.
So let's proceed.
And it was well planned ahead of time in public. And right. All
it was well planned, but it wasn't the reason. Behind it. Okay. So we rallied behind George W. Okay. And everybody that was against the war just kept their mouth shut. I mean, some of us just were outspoken, but most everybody.
It's either you're with us or against us.
Right. So now. You know, here we are, you know, and again, I'm not saying that the plan that Obama had or whoever wrote it was kind of the end all, you know, but in diplomacy, you have to will and deal. You have to give the other side the opportunity to speak their mind, present their objections or what they will go with, and we do the same thing.
Sure.
That's why it's called diplomacy. Mm-hmm. Now, you have certain people who are representing the table at the time. If the group, you know, if the nation didn't like what Obama's doing, they could just go ahead and sanction him. You cannot speak anymore. That's a term that's been done before. Okay? So why is it that all of a sudden our representatives go sit down in diplomacy, try to get something put together, and then all of a sudden a few clowns in the background decide they're going to go and override him? Like they are the president of the United States, like they are the people who are assigned to do this job, and tell a country that, oh, by the way, whatever agreement you make, it's not going to be valid. You know, okay, fine, the agreement might be wrong, but it tells that other country that whatever we say, our word is not worth anything. Plain and simple.
It's true. Whatever you want to think about it, I've seen all these memes this morning, you know, like with treason and stuff, and we'll get into it. Like, you know.
But here's the football mentality.
Yeah,
political.
It's embarrassing.
But political had a chat with Mr. McCain. Mm. Okay. Now.
Poor McCain.
Yeah, McShame. he was asked about why did he sign the letters? Okay. Quote unquote, and this is what political says that he said. Quote unquote, McCain said, "I saw the letter. I saw it. Looked reasonable to me, and I signed it. That's all. I sign a lot of letters." Well, excuse me, but you might sign a lot of letters, but do you actually read them?
Well, that's McCain for you. I mean, I have, you know, equal opportunity hate, but I mean, the guy, I still don't understand where he gets that credibility of that they apparently has among people.
And knowing that when we're actually trying to negotiate or do something, or we represent the United States, we should all be together on it, regardless of we have difference of opinion.
This is embarrassing in the way that countries play the game, in the way that diplomacy. I mean, so yeah, it makes America look really bad.
You know, and
everywhere.
Now, if it would have been a white Republican president, a white Republican president, they probably would have gone, "Oh, okay, yeah, this is the Bible that got sent down." You know.
Well, you already have.
Bottom
that
line
before.
Is, he happens to be black, and he happens to be a Democrat, pseudo Democrat. Yeah.
It's just used in the propaganda. And to go to the McCain part, you know, he's a good guy. Depends on which side you look at it. You know what I'm saying?
He was a prisoner of war and stuff like that. So I guess that's to answer my own question. That's where it comes. You know, to some extent is the sympathy that
I'm not saying
have.
That's my own opinion. I'm just saying depends on.
I'm sure his family thinks he's a good guy.
But you know, you go with your interests. Either you're a person, you're a country, you're whatever that serves your interests.
Right.
You're going to go for it.
Well, it should be always country first. When it comes to these politicians,
your interest.
Is mine personal?
You and your.
It should be country first.
Wait a minute.
Well, that's a democracy then. You can't have it.
No. I want to put to you that you have to. Interest, the whole point of political
discourse.
You're
so bad.
Yeah.
You're so bad.
You guys are so calm today, I'm trying to burn you guys up.
This is not a country first issue. This is a circus of the insane.
Yeah,
or macabre, I don't know what. But, you know, watch out, the interest is really complicated, man, because the whole political invention of politics in the Stone Age, pre-Stone Age, right? We were still like half a meter tall, you know, and not yet developed. The minute we developed language, we encounter that problem. We sometimes have conflict of interests. If we just pursue our might makes right, if I have a bigger stake, I will kill you right now. Frankly, we would still be perhaps living in a beautifully ecologically balanced planet, but naked and hungry and no tablets and no radio and stuff like that. So the entire human project is kind of how do we manage to cooperate despite our often differences. Tendencies mm-hmm. of recognizing different interests and acting upon them, right?
You have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, and maybe it came, I think it came biologically, essentially, from a family. You know, there is a degree of selflessness involved, you know, to go beyond yourself. Religion, for me, as a kind of a secular guy, comes from there, too. You're going like, there's something bigger out there. No, it's not some bearded dude in the sky. It's, yeah, there are big things beyond your interests. You know, maybe there is a bearded dude in the sky. Sorry, bearded dude in the sky. I haven't seen evidence yet, so I'm not really on that one. But I don't know. But I do see the issue. How come I'm willing to sacrifice for my kid? Why not just, oh, bad year. Not enough food. Oh, well, let's kill my kids. And we can always make new ones. Big deal. Right?
Right.
But
right.
People rarely behave like that. Yeah. Why? So, I mean, it's evolved a phenomenon over the years that make us care about bigger things, would make us want to cooperate. I mean, but we have to. I mean, that's how we did it. We formed these institutions, flawed many of them, from Vatican, central government, whatever. Sure. They kind of formed, they evolved, in order to overcome the need to cooperate. That's kind of politics, right?
Right. And, to that whole conversation is because of the what's going on between Obama and Congress and Iran.
I have several conspiracy theories to add to that.
Okay, go ahead. Start with
all by myself. Well, I'm sure there are
other
crazy
people out there. Let's start.
Well, it's all Hillary. This is all like made to, I'm kind of joking here a little, only a little bit. You know, it's one of those things where there's no specific group of people coming up with this conspiracy. It's like, oh, it's not like Hillary in her secret, you know, it gets better. It gets better. You know the email she erased?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that was email between Hillary and the Republicans. That's the crazy. Because this is designed to make sure that a good corporate imperialist new Democrat AI way more, you know, in the pocket of corporations, way more right-wing imperialist than any Ronald Reagan ever was, you know, let alone a liberal like Richard Nixon. Oh, the good old days, you know. Seriously, then I'm like so but yeah, I mean, you can go to places like that, right? And then it becomes ridiculous in a sense, but de facto that's what happened. Remember, we've been over 2 years on the air now. Remember in the days of the fiscal cliff when we started that rhetoric of, oh, Obama's a nice guy, he wants to do kind of liberal / progressive policies like he promised, like the American people clearly and by a margin of millions elected him to do.
Right.
Remember going back to our the early of our today, right?
Right.
We're talking about how
actually
smart Americans are. It's just that they don't live in a democracy. It's, you know, they need an American spring of some kind, yeah?
But then you can't blame Obama again because it's not his own decision.
Well, but wait.
Right, he's not a king.
He's not a king.
Oh my God, they're not letting me do anything. They're not letting me do anything. They're going to shut down the government. Look, they shut down the government. Oh, I'm going to create this cliff in which, you know, I'm going to cut my slash budgets like a complete, like, tea party or on crack. If you don't cooperate with me. Oh, you didn't cooperate with me, which gave him the excuse to become a kind of a extreme right wing kind of in many senses of cutting budgets, etc. I mean, those guys are clowns. That's why you got a Jeb Bush here, who's like, you know, reasonable by those standards. I'm not supporting him, certainly not endorsing him. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying here? I mean, he's not like a frothing at the mouth, blithering idiot like some of these people are.
Right, right.
Right? So are you... It's become such a circus. I'm honestly not really particularly interested anymore. I don't even follow those things. I don't care what server Hillary Clinton runs her email. What I know is it'll be business as usual, and business as usual is not a viable option anymore.
Right. I mean, if they want to find something interesting, I'm sure they should read Bill Clinton's emails. I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff to laugh
about.
Well,
don't they all? I mean, how do you get to places like that? If you've got to cut a lot of deals and you got to be given the failure of our system in general, you must be what's the polite word, you know, in the pockets of very powerful people,
right.
Because otherwise you're not going to get elected.
Right. Right.
Democracy is supposed, I had this discussion with my 12-year-old daughter on the way to school this morning, actually, a little bit, I mean, or part of it, right? Democracy works because politicians have to do what we want them to do in order to get reelected. Not because it's the right way to go, not because, because otherwise we don't elect them, yeah? Okay.
And they want to stick to that seat.
In an ideal world, the public has an influence.
So they just want to be kings.
But we don't have influence. Yeah, you know, the beauty of it is it doesn't depend upon the kindness of their heart. That was slavery. When you depend for your subsistence, your lifestyle, on the kindness of your master, that is called slavery.
Right.
Okay? So, and both parties are giving us that as our only option, right? What the democracy is holds the decision makers accountable.
Oh, right.
But now they're accountable to the 0.0001%. Pretty much entirely, and the numbers are out there. We've researched it. It's not just paranoia. It's clear.
And bottom line, as much as this sounds as a conspiracy, you know, this latest, and I call it treachery, and they should be held for treason for what they did, it only benefits the stockholders of the industrial military complex.
I'm not a holder of these.
Because it keeps going and going.
Which has implanted itself like a vampire squid into America, well into our everywhere, you know, so it's very difficult. You can't extract them in a sense. You know, the financial industry that everybody likes to hate for good reason, because of their behavior, people, it's nothing personal, are very deeply, you know, I'm kind of trying to push that term, Eisenhower coined Republican, military industrial complex back in when he retired and left us to their tender mercies. Not very, it's all very nice, you know.
But those are the only people that benefit.
It's finance,
from
though, because we don't have that much industry anymore.
Circus.
You know, exactly. The only people that are benefiting are the circus, but then you got it back to the interest thing where we talk about, you know, and then because you got so many factors in, you got interests of these guys and the other guys and the other guys, and you know what? Okay, so let's talk about are they going to benefit when they have a deal with Iran? The thing.
A deal with Iran is, and Iran deserves at least a show of its own, frankly. You know,
right.
So let's put aside the issue of what you're going to do about it. You know, let's leave it at that level. So some kind of non-military solution. Now, the idea, I mean, that you're going to invade Iran like Iraq, you should really then maybe, you know
right.
what, take all those medicines. Because
right.
it's there. You should take added room, frankly.
Yeah, and chase them down with alcohol.
I'm not even talking ethics here. I'm not talking my political views. I'm not talking
anything. We're numbers.
Pure rationality. It's like catastrophic, you know? Iraq will seem like a picnic. Of course, so many of my liberal friends today say that, well, we left Iraq, rah-rah Obama. I'm like, you should put down the pipe, buddy. But, you know,
oh, and
really?
They're leaving, you know? Afghanistan, too.
Yeah, right, right. Now
I'm
that
going
all,
into Ukraine.
Now that it's all burnt and the fire is well spread beyond, it's a
right.
good time to leave. Yeah.
Well, the bottom line, we should have never gone to Iraq, period.
Yeah, well, even the CIA experts said that, you know, but there is a lot of interest. Indeed, that the military and offshoots and tech and big data that's collecting information, and it comes from spying on terrorists and by now has become spying on everybody. It's the imperial disease. People in America back in the 19th century are arguing against it. The founding fathers were really big on that one because they saw Europe, what happened in Europe when all these big powers were playing the imperial game instead of focusing on their internal development. Yeah? But we forgot that lesson. At the very least, we always had our tendencies, let's say. But certainly since the Truman administration, it's been kind of a specialization. And by now, it's central. It's so, so central. Sometimes it's a happy thing. We develop computers to fight wars, and it turns into all the video games.
Right.
That's a sweet case of spin-off, right? But like I said, I mean, well over 80, by some measures, well over 90% of everything we got is based off of, you know, public, often military, centralized public universities, government funding, taxpayers' money, all of that technology and stuff like that. It's just the end stage of putting it in a nice, shiny, aluminum brushed box, putting on the turtleneck, you know, marketing it properly, you know. No, I'm joking, but the last how do you create that interface so it's smart? Even interfaces from video games in the military, it's kind of co-developed today because they have the same incentives. How do you crunch a whole lot of data visually in real time? It's the same problem a soldier has, or a commander certainly,
right,
than anybody doing a raid in World of Warcraft has. It's the same problem. They solve it the same way, with very more sophisticated ways of representation, data on multiple channels, etc. But our entire economy, I'm saying, is very significantly based on that. We are able to import all those import goods that we no longer produce, right? So we buy imported. How do we get to buy all of that stuff? Because our dollar has been overvalued for decades, conservatively. Why has it been, and not just now where it's, yeah, are you, everybody,
right,
I hope, going buying
nuts, yeah,
French, you know, Italian wine, cheese, it's the time to go, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. I'll
or
stop
Euros
on the way home.
Yep.
Not good for the diet. Ooh, dude.
No, man, I'm hungry.
But you see, all of that, the fact that maintaining global energy trade in a world of highly industrialized, energy-hungry world in which we've been living for a while now, maintaining that the markets for energy are primarily in dollars creates autonomous demand for dollars. Anybody taking a advanced macroeconomic course has just got a shudder, I'm guessing. Autonomous demand. So it's kind of whatever it, traditionally in trade, right, Americans have to ask themselves, like any other nation, I mean, if we're going to want to import stuff, increase, benefit from trade, we need to have produce something other people want. So we do still, but nothing like we used to. Yeah? But if anybody who needs to power anything up around the planet needs to first convert whatever currency or goods they have to dollars, US, greenback, before they buy any oil, natural gas, whatever, that creates immediately extra circulation, extra value, autonomous demand for American dollars. If you will, when people say we're going to war in Iraq for oil, not really, for maintaining the trading in oil. Russia has got, it's part of the conflict we have with Russia today. And that's why people worry when the Russians and Chinese, as they are now getting so chummy. It's the, all the issue is about, ooh, will the Chinese be buying your Russian gas with yuan or with ruble or whatever?
Right.
That's a major hit for America. So, of course, all of these conflicts, Iraq, Russia, has many other dimensions too. Yeah? But that's a big one. And it's, so in a sense, here's your interest. You know, it's beyond just, surely, who is making direct money off of the war, off of the many other things like it? A few people, a small minority.
Right.
You're right. The people who actually, the real capitalists, people who earn not from wages or salaries, but earn at least most of their income from their investment. Now, that is a small minority of the population. I know many of you, like me, have a 401k or a 404b or whatever. All that is another racket, by the way, because 30 years ago, we had a pension fund.
Right.
And the
right.
value of money available to us
right.
per hour we work based on our salary, you know, the value of that retirement fund is less than a quarter of what it was now. So that was a way in which let's take these people's money, because it's not, you know, it's my money.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in there.
Right.
And instead of allowing them to safely keep it, invest it long term, you know, I mean, have it invested, basically a saving account, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Let's give that money to Wall Street.
Right.
They'll take care of it.
They'll take care of it, all right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're the experts.
Taken care of. Yeah.
You know, and I also want to note that during that time period when we actually had pension funds, the unions were pretty much doing all the negotiations.
Right.
But now, you know, the word union is kind of like a curse word.
And many unions, actually, as one of my students pointed out recently, I mean, many unions deserve it as a curse word, you know? Many of them have ossified and turned big. I mean, the economic principle that if you don't have unions, you're not having a well-functioning capitalist labor market. I mean, well-functioning if you're looking for a racket to exploit people, yeah,
right.
But it's not that kind of free market ideal our libertarian friends like, you know, this balanced or our Smithian even before libertarian, you know, this kind of the ideal of a free market. You would must have labor unions because the company is organized, isn't it?
Right.
So the labor needs to be organized too,
sure.
In order for the negotiations to be reasonable. Right? But of course, many unions, including some of the big ones,
Teamsters.
They're playing against their own team in a sense, or their insiders. They protect their own. You know, it's like that, and it's played well by people like you mentioned, Scott Walker, heavily funded by the Koch brothers. He is their champion. They floated them out to see, can we take over America and destroy capitalism, free markets, and the American dream? They tried it. So far, so good. Thank you very much. Let's finish it off because it's been under attack before the Koch brothers started explicitly, finishing it off at least. But yeah, you know, so anyway, it is very embarrassing. But let's go back to relax my conspiracy theory just a tiny bit. Yeah, you're right about the time. I mean, think about Netanyahu's speech too. That's another example of a kind of really embarrassment to America. You know, Netanyahu's speech, if Americans don't follow, fell on its face in Israel. In fact, it didn't work.
It was all about
making him look good in his election.
And it didn't work.
And it didn't work. I mean, many Israelis, I don't know exactly, I haven't seen the recent numbers, but many people criticize him for pathetic grandstanding. And he actually, the whole circus of this was so pathetic that it didn't even play well over there.
Yeah, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't know is that he didn't just arbitrarily ask to talk to a Congress. He was actually invited by the Speaker, John Boehner.
Yeah, they're playing this game anti-Obama, no doubt, and they're doing things in very, really kind of implicitly racist. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. There is many Republicans, you know, I hear in alternative media, I hear often these kind of Reagan Republicans even, you know, these moderate Republicans that they are called today are very, very worried about where their party is going. So, I mean, this is not like something from the left, in fact, you know.
It just shows you how much powerful these people are. The fact that they're there, how much influence they can do. And then, okay, since we have about 2 minutes.
There's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of just blundering idiots. No plan. There's no some Illuminati plan to set the Middle East on fire for oil profits. But despite there being no plan, this is what's going on.
Right.
You know, so there's this. So can we accelerate? Syria, there were several solutions. There were several agreements being made, signed, ready to go. Globally, we torpedoed them.
Until ISIS was
for
raised.
Different exactly right. We're still the vast majority of the people fighting these ISIS guys.
ISIS was not there before Syria.
No, but look what we did in Iraq. Again, we fostered the sectarian. I mean, this game of pitting the barbarians one against each other. Worked for a while in the 19th century, in fact, for the British Empire, you know, and even them it didn't work. I mean, empires run out. It's hence much of my respect to people like Ron Paul, and hence it's time to know that his son is on the list of the letters. So
right.
He's very cursed. Yeah. Certainly doesn't pass on the father.
He needs medication too.
The basic wisdom. I disagree with Ron Paul, you know, on many things, but I had respect for his rational position on a lot of things. Pat Buchanan for the older people.
Right?
Disagree with a lot of things. Personally, my ideology, my style, my worldview, can't stand him. He's the other guys.
Yeah.
The other side. But I respected him always for these sort of kind of rational view of foreign policy. But now we're kind of blundering. So in order to undermine the president, somehow gain some points on a day-to-day, let's call, can you give me another $2,000? Which what politicians do all day long when they don't come up with this stuff.
Right.
Anyway, probably somebody wrote it for them. They can't write.
Sure.
All of that stuff, it's embarrassing, but it's this blundering fool after fool. So we have a systemic issue. We must stop the caricatures, right? So, look, the effect of this letter on Iran leads to the fact that now all Democrats and progressives will not challenge Obama when he made that Venezuela statement, which was completely out of the blue and weird, yeah? Even by our standards. It could... they won't deal with the fundamental issue of, and I'm on record saying this, one of the things, you know, after invasion of Iraq, 2004, Democrat Club, I believe it was, here at Rollins College. I was invited, so I said a few words, saying, yeah, you're not getting out of there. First of all, I said, we have to get out by 2000, next election, 2004, whatever. I'm saying, like, no, 10 years from now, you're in Iraq. Mm-hmm. You want to bet now? Too late now, you know, you're in bed. You're staying there. I should have thought it. But the irony that I was on record, and I like to say that, is that how come George W. Bush is giving Iraq over to the Iranians?
That's another issue that we can discuss.
Me at least. You know, I think that's a good idea because I've been doing backroom deals with the Iranians. We're going to be good buddies. Iran is the new Israel. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm listening.
But then at the same time,
it didn't
happen. Yeah, you see.
Who's fighting ISIS? By the way, everybody hates ISIS, right? And so they should.
Right.
Who's fighting ISIS? Communist Turks. Huh? And Iran. catch it?
Right. What about what do they call it? The International Coalition or whatever they call it.
The International Coalition of the Willing.
Oh, there's some bombing going on. Mostly civilians. But again, that doesn't help. You know, that doesn't do the trick. That's PR again. I mean, we're totally, maybe Julie will give us a few minutes. But the important thing is to realize that then, you know, when you write this letter, it becomes that theater. Then everybody's, oh, look, Obama's for diplomacy. So now he's a threatening Latin America. Nobody's done that for a while, since Reagan. It's like back to the another way that
But then he fixed things with Cuba.
Well, not really.
Took initiative.
Yeah, I mean, again, what is it? It's good PR. Frankly, honestly, we know how this works. I mean, politics doesn't work actually like... And what an awful third season, House of Cards. What the hell happened?
I know.
It's not even entertaining. Not a lot. I love how people were...
I haven't watched that.
Oh, don't bother. Really?
Good.
Don't bother. It's over. I don't know what happened.
Well, Game of Thrones was entertaining,
but that's not realistic at all. Because what happened was that, okay, what can I do? What's the PR file? You know? Oh, here's something that would make you look progressive, maverick, really no real argument, make, you know, other people, like reactionary Cubans look bad.
Right.
It's a win-win. Do Cuba. Are you actually going to do something about change and how you deal with the poorer countries in the Caribbean? No. By the way, Bill Clinton, Clinton won, assuming that...
Clinton the first.
Yeah? Clinton the first, you know, was in charge of going into Haiti to re-rape them again after the earthquake. It's called helping them.
Right.
Yeah. So it debilitates this, and then we feel like, oh, but he's being rational. Relatively to these guys, yeah, but they're providing this kind of comic relief clown that makes him look rational, but he's not really changing in any significant sense how we do foreign policy, despite it being failure after failure after failure, and like insane people, we keep kind of running into the wall and getting up, dusting ourselves off, and running into it again.
Right. So to close up, you know, so mm-hmm. the whole thing is a play that's been playing all the time, but the characters are changing, you know, and events are changing and changing around.
Yeah, with the connection of a non-functioning democracy, a media saturated on multiple, some good things, right? But a lot of bad, sadly, like most technology, it's a double-edged sword, is how you use it. You know, it's not necessarily... Internet doesn't... I was naive back in the day. Internet doesn't free you necessarily. It can actually enslave you.
True.
It has the potential for both. But we're going to have next time, right? Google Truth, man. You see that? You hear about that?
Yeah.
Google Truth?
Yeah, the problem of what's really going on will be over. You just Google it.
Talking about series, obviously Judy's not here yet. But anyway, personally, I think that if our government was a little bit more transparent and... You know, did whatever they did the way the Game of Thrones did it. You know what I mean? They're even smarter.
They used to do. I mean, that's something in ancient times. There were times a champion. And Native Americans did it too. You know, a champion. Yeah, that way. I'd like to see that. You know, I'd like to see. I would be in Hillary's corner probably if we were like putting them into the
right.
I'd be like, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Anyway,
she would be good at that.
You've been listening to Punkonomics here in WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the voice of Rollins College and the best in basement radio. However, the opinions stated here today are solely ours and not of the college or the staff members here at WPRK. So, you know, don't hit them.
No, not their fault.
And I think Julie is right behind us.
She's there? In the house.
There she is. Julie is in the house. Anyway, Punkonomics.
So we'll stop harassing you now.
See you next week. Same time, same station from 2 to 4, Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Jawohl. You know me. I got my own time.
Yeah, Caribbean.
The preceding program did not reflect the views or opinions of this station, its management, or employees.
WPRK in Winter Park, Florida.
We are Lola B.
And I'm Candace B.
You're listening to WPRK in Winter Park, Florida. We are Queens of Noise. Queens of Noise.
Queens of Noise.
Queens of Noise.
Queens of Noise.
Queens of Noise.
Queens of Noise.